Good morning, Shelbyville. Good morning, church. Happy Sabbath to everyone who is here today and all those who are listening on our radio station and is tuned into the internet to follow our service today. I would like to begin today in this service to pray, and I would invite you, if you're not driving, to bow your heads with me as I pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for your blessing today. I pray for the guidance of your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would help us to understand this lesson today, so that it could help us better to serve you and those around us. We pray and ask for this in Jesus' name, amen. When I was here 2 weeks ago, the last time I preached, I spoke to you about the priesthood of all believers. This New Testament philosophy of the ministry is built around this concept of the priesthood of all believers who have called Jesus as their Savior. But there is an implication, I think, of accepting fully this doctrine of the priesthood of all believers. First off, it gives us direct access to Jesus Christ and to God's throne up in heaven. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, we read that this throne of grace is open and accessible to all of us today. We can come freely and boldly to God's throne of grace to receive forgiveness and blessing and redemption. And also, every member is a minister for Jesus Christ. Can you agree with that?
Amen.
Thank you. I think we all are ministers. Instead of having one minister, we're very fortunate that everybody here is a minister for Jesus Christ. We have a whole church full of ministers. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
There's no distinction between the clergy and the laity. There is no professional class in the church. Now, you may have a profession that you work at outside of the church, but inside the church, we're all laity. We're all a part of that lay movement that God has called us to. And I really believe that sometimes we think that what we do here on Sabbath morning is really the most important thing we do. It is important that we worship God, but you know, we come here to not only glorify God, but to witness and give a testimony about what God has done for us and how he has used us through this past week. We come here to get ready to go back out into the world for this next week to be a witness and a testimony for Jesus Christ. That's the whole point of us coming here, is that we can glorify God and what he's done for us this past week. So what does it mean to be a lay person? It means to be the people of God. And it means for all of us as church members, as people who have claimed Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that we have all been reconciled by Jesus Christ. And that is who God has committed the ministry to, is to all those who have been reconciled by Jesus Christ. The work of God in this earth is never going to be finished until men and women comprising our church membership rally to the work and unite their efforts with those of the ministers and the church officers. In other words, as we work together as the body of Christ, we will really accomplish the goals that God has for us as the body of Christ. And that's important. You saw in our scripture reading today, we looked at Acts chapter 6. We began in verse number 1 through verse 4. I'd like to read that for you one more time. But those who are listening on our radio station and internet have not heard that scripture reading. I'm reading from Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse number 1. It says, "In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, and whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." God has called for us to be ministers for him. And he calls each one of us to do that. And oftentimes, as we think about our responsibilities and that calling that Jesus has given us, we wonder, well, what is the pastor supposed to do? If I'm going to do all of these things, what is the pastor's responsibility in all that? You know, years ago, I had baptized a young man who came into the church from a different denomination. And he thought that the only thing that pastors did and were responsible for was preaching on Sabbath morning. So I invited him to go with me one day to do ministry. At the end of the day, he had a different concept of what ministry was all about. And he saw that there was a whole lot more involved for a pastor than just preaching on Sabbath morning. I want to look at the calling that God has given to us in Ephesians chapter 4. And if you'll turn with me today in Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to be beginning at verse number 11. This is Ephesians chapter 4 at verse number 11. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 11, it says, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, until the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." And so God has called us as pastors to be pastors and teachers. And the whole point of that is that when you listen to the translations that we often find, like the 20th century New Testament, it describes this text here in verse number 12. It says here that it is to fit his people for the work of ministry. In the New English Bible, their translation is to equip God's people for work in his service. And then the Phillips translation, it says his gifts were made that Christians might be properly equipped for service. That is the whole point, is to get us ready to do something significantly important for Jesus. And when someone gives their life to Jesus, that's significantly important, don't you think? Amen. When someone has been making preparation to meet Jesus, to go to heaven with him for eternity, I think that is the most important work that you and I could do as ministers for Jesus Christ. The work of the pastor is to prepare the people to do the work of the ministry. It's not the job of the pastor to do the ministry himself, but to train the members and to do the work of the ministry for Jesus Christ as one of his ministers. In Testimony Volume 7, page 21, the author there, it says, "It is not the Lord's purpose that ministers should be left to do the greatest part of the work of sowing the seeds of truth." They've done a lot of research. I mean, there has been a lot of research on the effectiveness of pastors, and they find that over 70% of the people who come into the church do not come in through a pastor's efforts. They come in through the membership, the other ministers in the church, the lay people, which all of us are. We're all sharing into that ministry. And most of the people that come to the church come in because of you, not because of the pastor. Wow, that's pretty quiet. The Lord must have struck a chord here today. It's true. It's your witness, your testimony as a minister and a disciple of Jesus Christ. You're the most effective minister in this church. You know, when I go to gatherings with people, and I notice that in any gathering, there'll be people standing around talking, having an enjoyable time. And if I'm in a gathering with people who do not know who I am and someone takes the initiative to introduce me to the congregation or the crowd that we're with, and they say, "I'd like to introduce you to my pastor," guess what happens? The crowd gets dead quiet. And pretty soon there's a dispersion of people. Most people relate better to you than they do to the pastor. You didn't know that, did you? Your ministry is vital to the growth of God's kingdom. It is vital that you take on this ministry that God has called you to. You're the most effective minister that God has. And that's why when we look at Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, we see there that Peter is saying there, "Hey, look, we can't serve the tables and do all the other things that need to be done to meet the needs of the people around us. We have to be able to focus on the ministry that God has called us to as leaders in the church. And we have to be able to spend time in the ministry of the word and in prayer." One of my professors at seminary years ago, he said to us one day in class that a pastor needs time to be able to think. Now, it's really hard to do that when you're driving or when you're involved with so many other things and activities that you don't have time to just quietly sit down and meditate and think on what God wants for you to do today. And I believe that's important. It's important for us to know what God wants us to do day by day so that we can fulfill the wishes and the will of God as we go throughout our walk with Jesus every day. Listen to this. Again in volume 7 of the Testimonies, page 18, it says, God has not given his ministers the work of setting the churches right. No sooner is this work done, apparently, than it has to be done over again. Church members that are thus looked after and labored for become religious weaklings. And 9/10 of the effort had been put forth for those who know the truth, had been put forth for those who have never heard the truth, how much greater would have been the advancement made? And I believe that's really true, that oftentimes we spend a lot of time focused inwardly when we should all be focusing outwardly. And in ministering to others, we find a great blessing for ourselves in doing that. Paul himself talked about that when he was ministering to others, he was partaking in the blessings of the gospel himself. Just give a Bible study to somebody and watch them change their life as they listen to the Word of God speaking to them. When someone gives their heart to Jesus, friends, it's not only a blessing for them, but it is a blessing for the person who is sharing that gospel. And that's how we grow in Jesus Christ. In evangelism, the book called Evangelism, page 113, it says, sometimes ministers do too much. They seek to embrace the whole work in their arms. It absorbs and dwarfs them, and yet they continue to grasp it all. They seem to think that they alone are to work in the cause of God while the members of the church stand idle. And this is not God's order at all. And it says here that also that we are not to be able to take on all the responsibilities of the church. When I first started in ministry, I thought I had to do everything people wanted me to do. Every time they wanted me to go here, to do this, to do that, and you know what I found? I was starting early in the morning, I was coming home late at night, and I never saw my family. And as a result of that, I didn't have the contact with my family, and especially my children in the early years of their life, that I should have as a father. Not just as a pastor, but as a father to my children. And you'll see that many pastors' children aren't in the church because their dad was too busy doing the work and the calling of other people in the church. It should never be that way. In the process of me helping other people to find heaven and a relationship with Jesus, I should not sacrifice my wife and my children to do that. And I think too many pastors have done that, and they've lost their families as a result of it. I believe that in some respects, a pastor occupies a position similar to that of a foreman or of a gang of laboring men or of the captain on a ship. They're expected to see that the men over them are set to do the work assigned to them correctly and promptly, and only in a case of emergency are they to execute any kind of work themselves. Now I want to read you a story that I found in a book that Ellen White had written. It says the owner of a large mill once found his superintendent in a wheel pit making some simple repairs, while a half dozen workmen in that line were standing by idly looking on. The proprietor, after learning the facts, so as to be sure that no injustice was done, called the foreman to his office and handed him his discharge with full pay. In surprise, the foreman asked for an explanation. It was given in these words, I employed you to keep 6 men at work. I found the 6 idle and you doing the work of but one. Your work could have been done just as well by any one of the 6. I cannot afford to pay the wages of 7 for you to teach the 6 how to be idle. Now, this incident may be applicable in some cases where one person is doing the work and many other people are watching. I think in the church, that's way too common. There's the 80-20 rule. Have you ever heard of that? Where 20% of the church members are doing all of the labor, all of the work in the church, while 80% sit by and watch and don't get involved. And you can call that 80-20 a principle that is consistent throughout all congregations. I don't care what denomination you come from, and it doesn't matter if you go to a church of 10 people or 10,000. It's the way it happens. It should never be. That is not the calling that God has given to us. God has called us to be faithful ministers and disciples of Jesus Christ. Sometimes in the church, people expect the church pastor to do everything in the church and in the community. And the church becomes so dependent on the pastor that if they think that the pastor is to do everything, to make every decision, never sleep, never rest, never see his family, just work, 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 and never take a break. And that was me when I first started in ministry. I have a witness here today that could testify to that. I was more busy than what God wanted me to be. But I've learned over the years that it's better for me not to do the work and steal the blessing from you than it is for me to do everything and you be idle. It is better when you and I do the work together. Not only are we blessed individually, but it helps the expansion of God's kingdom. And that's the calling that God has given to every one of us. You look in our bulletin, and you look back in the back there at the bulletin, you'll see a number of projects that are going on. This is not pastor-led. This is the church members who are using their gifts to be able to do something for Jesus and to help further his work in this community. You look at what's happening there, and I want you to think about this. With nominating committee coming up, what is it that God is calling you to do for him that can be accomplished by the gifts that God has given to you? Listen, friends, I've had people tell me so many times in my ministry, I don't know what my gift is. Well, what have you done to find out? What have you done to step out in faith, to follow Jesus, and just do something for him to see if what you're doing is his gift? So if you have a burden for something, then follow with that burden. Start a ministry in relationship to the burden that you have and see how God blesses that. And you know, if we never use the gifts that God gives us, we become more feeble and weak. But when we step out in faith and begin to use those gifts, God strengthens us and shows us how that ministry is supposed to be performed. You know, I've had people say to me, Pastor, how is this person doing? How is that person doing? What's happening? You know what I say to them? What I say to you today? I don't know. Have you called them? Have you visited them? Have you went to their house or called them on the phone and prayed with them? Have you taken the time as a Christian to involve yourself in this ministry of ministering to the people who you're asking me about? I really believe that's important, that if we're Christians, then we need to display this loving Christianity to be able to go out and do ministry for God. Listen, don't ask me how somebody's doing, how so-and-so is faring. Go do it yourself. I know that may sound a little harsh, but listen, this is what God has called all of us to do. You want to know how someone is doing? If they haven't been to church, if they're not doing well, then be a Christian, a loving Christian, and go find out what is happening with that person. Take the time to listen to them and pray for them and lift them up to Jesus. Years ago, in the first district that I was ever given, I remember one day, the head elder and I had a meeting in the church. And the head elder told me, he said, Pastor, if I tell you to go cut the grass, then you go cut the grass. And if I tell you to go out and bring the mail in, hey, Pastor, you go out and bring the mail in. He said, I hired you and I can fire you. And I thought, Elder, you've got the wrong idea about who I am as a pastor. And I think sometimes that is the way that people think, that the pastor is an employee of the people in the church. No, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, and I follow what he wants me to do. And you are not my boss, Jesus is. Can we agree to that? I'm not your employee. I belong to Jesus. He paid the ransom for me, and I do what Jesus asked me to do. And if my work for Jesus doesn't fit with your ideals, praise the Lord, because I'm following Jesus, and maybe you need to do the same thing and follow Jesus too. I believe that we need to turn over our life to Jesus Christ every day, to be connected to that life-giving sap that only Jesus Christ, the true vine, can give to us. And when we turn over our life to Christ, friends, we will allow him to give us direction for what our life is supposed to be like as we walk with him faithfully every day. The pastor's not some machine that you can turn off and on and just keep him running and let him be used up by whatever is taking place. When you want the work to be done, then what has to happen is you have to help do it. You have to pitch in. And that doesn't mean that the pastor just sits by and doesn't do anything. There's responsibilities that a pastor has that are totally different than what you have. My day is a busy day normally. I start my day with prayer and Bible study and trusting in Jesus, calling upon him for his power and guidance, talking about you to Jesus. That's right, I'm tattling on you to Jesus. And I'm asking for your blessing to come down upon you and your family as I pray. Isn't that great? Amen. Well, guess what? We have Jesus up in heaven doing that for all of us. He stands in the sanctuary as the Lord and Savior of all this world, and he stands there in that sanctuary as our Savior, ministering for us, praying for us to the Father in heaven. Praise God for that. Because oftentimes we're really confused about what we should pray about and what God's blessing means to us and how it should come to us. And Jesus sorts all of that out for us up there in the sanctuary, praying for us. Listen, I believe that the pastor is supposed to be a spiritual guide and a teacher of his word. I believe that the word of God is important for us. And that's why Peter was saying there in Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 4, that we need to be busy about doing things, but we need to be busy doing the right things within the calling that God has given to us. And being a spiritual leader and a guide to God's people. I believe it's important in these last days to think about what is it that God wants us to do so that we can work together with the Holy Spirit to help bring this work to an end so that you and I can go back to heaven and spend eternity with Jesus. I'm ready for that, aren't you? Amen. I'm ready to go to heaven. I want Jesus to come. I want all of these things that are so difficult for us to deal with. I want Jesus to come and put it to an end. You know, only about 40 to 50% of the people in the church are faithful in paying tithes and offerings. Are you aware of that? And sometimes we wonder, why isn't there a pastor in every church? Why do pastors have to have 3 and 4 or 5 churches in their district? Well, a lot of it has to do because there's only 40 to 50% participating in tithes and offerings as a faithful Christian in the church. And God has called for all of us to be faithful, and every one of us are going to have to give an answer for that faith or lack of faithfulness in following Jesus and his calling to us. If we want more pastors, then, you know, we ought to be faithful in what we're doing. Maybe there will be more. But there is this issue that's happening in the baby boomers. And that is that 8 to 10 years from now, Tom, 50% of the pastor's workforce are going to be retired. There will be some attrition of death or disease or accidents. Some will get discouraged and leave the ministry. But 50% of the workforce is going to be retired. Now that creates a big hole in the ministry. Amen. And that means that something else has to happen. And I want you to look with me in Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, I want to start reading at verse 1. In Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 1, it says this, "And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which is at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering to every house, hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word." You see, this is what Jesus had said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. That once they had received the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, they were to start in Jerusalem, go out to the outer cities of Samaria and Judea and the surrounding areas. They were to spread the word everywhere. But you know what happened? It had persecution had to take place against the church before the people were able to do what God had called them to do. They got comfortable in the church. They liked it where they were at. And it took persecution to change their little happy situation and make them go out into the surrounding areas and tell other people about Jesus and his saving grace for them. Philip was one of those people that listened to the Spirit of God. He was one of the deacons that had been a part of the 7 that we talked about in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Philip was one of those deacons, and he was on his way, and he ministered to the Ethiopian eunuch, and he give the word of God to this man, and he also baptized him. You look in verse 39 and 40 of Acts chapter 8. It says, and when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So he didn't stop with the eunuch. He kept preaching the word of God. He kept visiting other cities and towns. He kept sharing the gospel with other people. He got so excited about this experience with him and that eunuch, it led him to go further. He saw success. He saw victory in that man's life. And he saw the gospel being practiced in daily life of that man. And he got excited about what happened there. And he began to go out and start preaching. He was a deacon in the church. Listen, friends. We don't have to be a pastor to pray for people. We don't have to be a pastor to give a Bible study or to just visit and be a friend. We don't have to be a pastor to start some kind of ministry. My job is to help encourage you and to help train you and to help lead you in finding work for you. Listen, it's not your responsibility or your calling. At least I can't find it in the Word of God that you're to find work for me. The Word tells me that I'm supposed to, as a pastor, to find work for you. And to train you and encourage you for the upbuilding of the body of Christ so that we all come into this state of maturity in Jesus Christ for the upbuilding of God's kingdom. Listen, God wants us all to be a part of the ministry. That's why he has called you. That's why the Holy Spirit has gifted you so that every one of us could do a ministry. We don't all have to do the same thing. God has gifted us differently. So that every one of us can do something different to reach people around us. There are people in your circle of influence that I would never be able to reach, but God has a place for you to minister to them. He wants you to reach out to your friends and family, starting in Jerusalem, so to speak, right there in your home, right in your little sphere of influence. And then as you gain confidence and skill in doing what God has called you to do, then move out into the surrounding areas around your place where you live, you work, where you associate with other people, giving the gospel, the message of Jesus, showing the other people how to live like Jesus. And God has called all of us as ministers to give this kind of testimony and witness to the world. I pray for you every day, and I pray that you will every day pray for me and my family and for the ministry God has called us to, that we will keep our mind focused on Jesus and the calling that he has given to us. This is not a job. I hope you understand that this is a calling that God has given to me. And I said yes to this calling many years ago. And God has been directing me on how to do that calling. And when it gets confused is when I start listening to other people besides Jesus. Pray for me that I only hear the voice of Jesus as I walk with him. Heavenly Father, I pray that every day our minds will be focused on you and that our hearts will be open to the voice of your Holy Spirit, that you will guide us in the ministry you have called each of us to. And I pray, Lord, that we will be found faithful in your sight when you return. And I pray, Lord, that every day you would be close to us and we'd be close to you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.